And of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shakespeare long ago asked the question, what's in a name? Well, if you've ever had a child, you most certainly know that quite a lot is in a name. And it can be quite nerve-wracking to pick out just the perfect name for your newborn. After all, that's how he or she will be known for the rest of their life. It'll be their reputation. It's an identification of who they are and what they've done. Perhaps you give them a family name to carry on the legacy of your grandparents. Or perhaps you give them a brand new name and unique to themselves, establishing their own path through this world. Quite a lot, in fact, rides on a name. Just last week, we celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. And after 8 days, Mary and Joseph did what any good Jewish parents would do. They had their newborn son circumcised, and they gave him a name. Now, the circumcision showed that he was a part of the covenant with God. That is, he was born into the promise of God. But how ironic it was that Jesus was circumcised at all. After all, he wasn't just born into the covenant with God. He was God himself in the flesh. He is the very promise of God in human form. However, here Christ humbles himself, placing his sinless self under the law in order to live out the perfect life in our stead. Jesus' obedience to the law means that he must shed his own blood, even here at only 8 days old. And it was in this shedding of blood that he received his name. That is Jesus, the Hebrew word for salvation. As the angel of the Lord told Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Already at 8 days old, his destiny of atonement is revealed in his name and in his circumcision. He will shed his blood to save his people. Names are very important, and they often carry meaning with them, especially in the Bible. Names tell us who a person is, and they often tell us about a person as well. For example, God changes Abram's name to Abraham, meaning the father of many nations. He changes Simon's name to Peter, meaning rock, for his rock-solid confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Names carry weight. How important it is, then, that God chooses to reveal himself to us in the flesh by the name Jesus, by the name Salvation. God's name is a revelation of who he is. In the Old Testament, he reveals himself to Moses by the name of Yahweh, meaning something along the lines of, I am who I am. It signifies pure existence. That's God. He simply is. All things are dependent upon him. With the coming of Jesus, God reveals himself in an even more specific way. He reveals the depths of his love for us by sending his Son in the flesh and by naming that Son Salvation. Not only this, he reveals to us that there is a third person in the one true God, that is the Holy Spirit. God has now revealed himself to us more deeply than we ever imagined. He is the Trinity. We now have the triune name of God, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This triune name of God is to be kept holy. It is to be glorified. In fact, that's why we sometimes stand at the end of hymns. When the triune name of God is mentioned, we address it, we glorify it in the last stanza of some of our hymns, and that's why we stand. However, God goes above and beyond simply revealing his own name to his people. He actually gives us his holy name. He places his name upon us in baptism. We are baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He now hands his holy name over to us, his people, so that we can also be holy. All that we do as Christians is then done in his holy name. In fact, it's how we are given the name Christian at all. In baptism, we become little Christs. God's name is given to us. It is placed upon our tongues so that we might proclaim it to the world. And with our tongues, we do praise God. And yet with our tongues, how easily we also find it to curse our neighbor or speak ill of him who is made in the likeness of God. Or how easily we find it in difficult situations for God's name to simply roll off our tongues in a way that he would find not so pleasing. We've been given a mighty and powerful thing, the very name of the Lord. We can call upon that name in all times of trouble, and we are told in the second commandment that we're not to misuse his name. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be thy name." Of course, God's name is in and of itself holy, but we ask in this prayer that the name of God would be kept holy among us also. God's word is kept holy, and it's not misused when the word of God is taught in its truth and its purity, and when we live according to the word of God. So, what we're praying for in this petition of the Lord's Prayer is that God would keep our teachings true to his word, and that we ourselves would carry out our lives in accordance with that word. And so we see that the Lord's Prayer is, in fact, a baptismal prayer. We ask the Lord to keep us in our baptismal grace. We address God as he has revealed himself to us, praying, "Our Father, who art in heaven." He is our Father in heaven, and he has granted us the right to become his children through holy baptism by placing his name on us. Everyone knows, for example, that your children are your own because, well, you gave them their name, and they do bear your last name. We, in a similar way, proudly confess that we are God's people because he has given us his own name to bear in holy baptism. Not only this, the Lord himself keeps us in that baptismal grace by sealing us in his name every week. At the end of the service, you'll hear Pastor proclaim to you, as he does every week, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." This isn't just a cute phrase. This is more than just a happy saying. As our Old Testament reading from which this blessing comes tells us, through these words spoken by the priests of the Old Testament and now the pastors of the New, God places his holy name upon his people, upon you, blessing you. Every week when you hear this blessing, you are being sealed into his holy name, recalling the baptismal grace that was given you when you were first sealed into his name so very long ago. Every week when you hear this benediction, you know that God has come to you. He has appeared to you through his word and through bread and wine. It is God placing his stamp of approval on you. You have been washed and fed, healed and forgiven. It is God saying to you, "You are my child, and with you I am well pleased." Today, 2017 is ending, and a new year is beginning. Whatever this new year may bring, let us go into it with the triune name of God, with the name of Jesus, upon our lips and upon our hearts, sealed in the name of the eternal God, with his holy blessing. Amen. The peace of